today which the Lord has made, we will. Amen. Thank you. That just sounded good. Sounded better than how's our family doing today. Well, I have a confession to make. Andrew asked me where my tie was today, and I said I'll be covering that. And some of you may have been aware of this or may not have noticed it, but I noticed my neck isn't getting bigger. My shirts are getting smaller. And so as I picked out my tie, my particular shirt today, I just couldn't quite do it today. So I left it off, and it's in my desk and whatever. So no tie today because my shirts are getting smaller. My neck is the same size as it always was. That may be a lie, but we'll be talking about that in today's message, okay? So it could be. Today we're going to be in James chapter 3. If you would turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3. And as you're turning there, I just want to reflect for a minute on last week's message, which was called, What Difference Will You Choose to Make? And I just thought as I was doing that, where should the emphasis be on last week's message title? What difference will you choose to make? What difference will you choose to make? And I thought, now, what difference will you choose? You know, and there's all these different things. What difference will you choose? So there's all these different things on where we put the emphasis in that message. But it all comes together to say we have a choice to make. And it's up to us to do it. Amen? We talked last week about adjusting our aim and adjusting our focus just a little bit to make a significant difference in our life, where things are going, where we're headed, how we see things. So today I want you to adjust your hearing just a little. If you have a hearing aid, I don't want to see you actually playing with it. I'm just saying I want you to focus on what you're listening to today. And I want you to get what God has for you out of this very familiar passage. I've preached on this before. I've preached over at Ground Zero on this before. But I want you to listen very carefully and say, God, not what do you have for the whole world in this Bible scripture, in this passage, but what do you have for me in this today? God, what do you want me to get out of this? Not what do you want my neighbor to get out of it? And when something great comes along, start poking them, going, did you hear that? That was for you. Although it may be, God has something very specific for you in this passage that He wants to share with you also. So Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to read the whole chapter, and then we're going to come back and break it down just a little bit. And just so you know, I read many different things to find out about good churches, good churches, bad pastors. Long messages are the only way to reach someone. Short messages are the only way to go. Did I say Hebrews? I'm sorry. James. James chapter 3. Oh, man. You know, you've got to read what the teleprompter says sometimes. My teleprompter right here says Hebrews, but we are going to James. Yeah. Yep, I did. I better check this before I make a mistake through the whole message. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to James chapter 3. That's where I'm opening, that's where we are, and that's where my marker is. I just wrote down the wrong thing because I've been studying Hebrews also. But I know that there's all these different ways to preach a message. You break it down verse by verse, but you don't read the whole thing and come back. You can only read the whole thing, then come back. I get that. In other words, everyone has a different opinion about how we do it. But today, here's how Adam's going to do it. He's going to read the whole thing. Then we'll come back and we'll do some touch back on the verses. Amen? All right. And then when you preach, you can come up here and do it your way. I like that. But there's 1,000 different ideas out there on the internet telling, you know, how to make a great church and whatever. And I just want to do what God wants me to do. It says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. Number one, you probably couldn't handle it, but it doesn't say that in here. But it says the reason we shouldn't do that is knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. And they're talking about biblical teaching. When you do that, when I stepped into this role, when I stepped into the youth pastor role 11 years ago this month, God said, you will have a stricter judgment. Those who teach the word have a stricter judgment. So it says, for we all stumble, not most of us, not some of us, we all stumble in many things. In other words, look at your neighbor and just say, hey, we all got problems. No sense in pretending that we're just perfect and sitting here in this church being perfect Christians. Young people sitting back there, young people, we all stumble in many areas. You don't just stumble in one area, you stumble in many areas. Don't be offended if I didn't look at you when I said young people, please also. For we stumble in many areas and many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man. He is a perfect man if he doesn't stumble in the word. Able also to bridle the whole body. And if you're able to bridle the whole body, I just confess today that my shirt's getting smaller, but really it's my neck that's getting bigger. And this shirt no longer fits around my neck. It says also they're able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body with that bit. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Don't start poking each other just yet. I haven't got to the good stuff. See how great a forest and little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire and a word of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. In other words, what you say is going to defile the whole body. It really, whatever you say, here's my character, when you open your mouth, that's really your character. And a lot of times they don't line up. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and of reptile and the creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. So all these things we tame, but man cannot tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. And I was going to stop there, and as I was studying, I just kept reading, so we're going to go and finish the entire chapter. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That sounds great. Place your finger in there, and let's go back to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. And it talks about, we're talking about the unpardonable sin just before that. And in Matthew 12, 33, it talks about a tree being known by its fruit. And it says, either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak evil things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Key phrase right there. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Remember that as well. I'm going to read that one more time. I say to you, every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Everything we say, everything we do, can you turn these down just a little bit? Turn those down just a little bit. They're ringing in my ear up here, sorry. Every evil thing we do and say is going to be replayed like a movie on that day of judgment. And it'll be one of those things, the outtakes that we wish they wouldn't show. But it says we're known by our fruits. The things that we say, the things that we do, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our idle words, it says. We have a lot of idle words, and sometimes I call them extras. When somebody says something, one of the extra or idle words is when we're standing nearby and we go, yeah. Who needed that to be added on? Now, that's not crucial and critical, I don't think, but it's nonetheless an extra and idle word. But it's going to be replayed. So let's go back to James. And let's break that down a little bit. And it talks about the small words, James chapter 3. And it talks about, verse 4, look at the ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. When we speak to one another, we pretty much know exactly the feeling or the emotion we want that person to get out of it. Whether it's our parents, our children, our spouse, our teacher, our students, our employer, our employees, we pretty much know where we want to steer that conversation and that end result. Now, some people are confused and aren't sure quite how to talk, and they think a lot of times that I have to yell to get my point across. And I have to use vulgarity so they understand just exactly how upset I am. I'm going to use these nasty words so you understand that I'm really passionate about this. The only way I can be heard in my house is if I yell and scream at the top of my lungs. And I never let anyone else speak. I always talk over them. I interrupt, I speak over them, I yell. And they're confused on what they want to do. In the pulpit, if we want someone to understand, do we have to yell and get excited? Sometimes. Sometimes that's part of being a cheerleader. We want the team to be excited. Eric talked about being a fan a couple weeks ago. And sometimes, as cheerleaders, that's what we have to do. Man, we're up here singing and we're praising and we're talking about defeating the enemy. Some of us have a lot of enemies we need to defeat. Some of us have defeated a lot of enemies. And God has blessed us to allow us to be overcomers. Small words, small statements have huge impacts, do they not? Let's think about a couple. Men, when a girl comes up and says, I'm pregnant, we're going to hope you're married. Because that's the biblical view for God and sex, is to be married. And within that thing, it's a great thing. Within the Bible, young people, within the Bible, there's this great way God says you can have sex. And it's after you're married. Small words, big impacts. I'm pregnant. You're fired. I quit. Will you marry me? I love you. Notice how I looked at my wife when I said that. I love you. He's dead. She's dead. I surrender. I want a divorce. Go to, and then you pick your place you want to send him to. Those small phrases, none of those had more than four words in them. Small words, big impact. Small statements, big impact. All four words or less, huge impacts. going down through verse 6 through 12, talks about the fire. It becomes a small thing and then it gets into this big thing. It's like the Chicago fire. I get there's controversy on how it really started. Did the cow kick over the lantern? Well, the other story says, well, there were some guys gambling right next door in the barn or shed or whatever, and they did it because they didn't want to be found out. So they covered it up, said a cow kicked it over. At any rate, let's just say a lantern was kicked over, started a fire by something or someone somewhere. And it just spread and spread and spread. At the time, I believe they said 80% of Chicago was made out of wood. The structures, the sidewalks were made out of wood back then. They'd gone through several months of drought. Fierce winds blowing through in October when it happened. Throwing embers around. And then with the heat and the wind and all these things, it had like a fiery tornado event that happens every now and then because of the heat. And it just carried it across the river. It hit a kerosene place. It hit coal. It hit lumber in the lumber yards or in the rail yards. And then there was a watchtower they had. And the guy gave the wrong direction. Be careful for people giving wrong direction. And he sent the fire crews in the wrong direction to the wrong place at the wrong time. But then it hit the water plant. And when it collapsed, boop, there went the water. Now, through that disaster, of course, came great renovation, reinventing how we're going to do things and how city structures should be made. A lot of giving by other states and cities and organizations to Chicago. But it says, like a fire in a forest. Our word, our lies, the way we speak to one another. It says, but no man can tame the tongue. No man can do that. And in verses 6 through 12, it shows us what our real character is. We talked about, we can say what we are. We can wear whatever we want. I wear a suit. Normally when I get a tie around my neck, I wear one. That doesn't mean anything. When you open your mouth, what shows your true character? Out of the abundance of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart. So when we read on verse 13, we get down there, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? It says, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. And it goes on to say in verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So then it says in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first, it's pure. Then it's peaceable. Think back to what we talked about last week. We were in Jeremiah chapter 29. And it talked about God taking people away from taking them into captivity for 70 years. And in Jeremiah 29, verse 7, it said, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. So I've made you be captive somewhere. And he said, in that place I've taken you to, seek peace there. And he said, I have caused you to be carried away there. He says, pray to the Lord for it. Pray for peace. For in its peace, you will have peace. And I thought, God again wants us to have peace in our life. And He wants us to have it wherever we are. Wherever He has caused us to be. Wherever He has taken us. Whatever He has taken us to or through. He's telling us, find peace in that place. For when you seek peace in that place, you will find it. And when you're there, seeking peace, pray to the Lord. Now it goes on to say, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which cause you to be dreamed, which you cause to be dreamed. And in verse 9 of Jeremiah 29 it says, "For they prophesy falsely. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. But I have not sent them, says the Lord." And I want us to be very careful. When people prophesy in the name of Jesus, they better make sure they're doing it in His name. And we better make sure that He has sent them. The Bible talks about that in many places. He talks about it in Matthew chapter 7 as well. All my bookmarks are falling out. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me.'" We better be sure when we use our gifts and say, "God has given me this gift," that it's from God. For we don't want to deceive other people. And this tells us, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. It is gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." God desires us through our words to be peaceable people. And He desires for us to speak kindly to one another. He doesn't want us to lie. He also tells us, don't flatter somebody with false words. No sense in doing that just so you look good, trying to make them look good. You see, God knows our heart. God knows our intentions. God knows our motives, why we're doing what we're doing. Even when we lie, God knows what our motives are. You know what I love about Facebook? Besides mostly nothing. I'm not on it, but I hear about it from all kinds of people. But the one thing Facebook does is reveal truths about people when they lie. I'm sick and won't be in today. I got to take a personal day. Okay, enjoy. Hey, didn't they call in sick? Yeah. They're out at the lake right now. They just posted pictures of them on this big old boat. They're out fishing at this pond. They just posted, said, "Just caught some good ones. Can't make it to church today." "We're under the weather." Okay, great. "Hey, I thought they were sick, man. We prayed over them in the prayer thing." "Yeah? Man, they're out at the park. They're going to the fair. They're riding a roller coaster right now. I guess they got well real quick." Well, amen for healing. I guess our prayers for their sickness work. My point being, we lie and then we post what we're really doing on Facebook and you just get caught up in the middle of it. And I'm not saying go on Facebook and post a lie. I'm just saying tell the truth. "Hey man, I'm going to take a personal day. I'm going to take a vacation day at work because we're going to go do this. Hey, I'm not coming to church. We're taking a vacation." Okay. You don't have to tell me you're sick. I got on that soapbox once before and I thought, my gosh, I was never going to get off that thing. You don't need to tell me you're sick to not come to church. Just don't come. But don't tell me you're sick and then post that you've been out having this blast all day long with somebody else or somewhere else. You see, your integrity and your character is shot now. Just tell me, "Hey, we're going somewhere. Man, have a good time. I'm not a bad teacher. I'm just saying, if you're going to lie, first of all, stop it. Secondly, don't post the truth on Facebook because everyone here is friends. Everyone at work is friends." We lie and then we get caught up in it And then we try, and then we have to go back and apologize. And I'm sorry I lied. As we close today, God wants you guys to do something with your tongues. He wants you to do all you can to tame it. It says no man can. I get that. But how are we going to use that thing? For good or for evil? To bless someone or condemn somebody and curse them? No spring yields both salt water and fresh water. God wants us to control our tongue. Today, maybe you're here and you just need to repent for statements you made to other people, to relatives, to whatever. You may need to ask another person to forgive you for something you've said, or others, plural. You may just want to ask God to change your heart, so the abundance in your heart is different than it is right now. But here's what I don't want us to do. It said no man is perfect, right? So we can just give that up right off the bat. I'm perfect. If I stand up, they're going to know I'm a sinner. I've got problems. I've got issues in my life. I had a little stumble. But please don't sit there today thinking, I'm too good. I'm the pastor of the church. I can't tell them that my mouth gets me in trouble. It does. It's got me in trouble with some of you before. So I'll just throw that out there. I'll be the first to confess that. I'm none too pleased about it. But one of our youth got a little rowdy. Not one of our current youths. But a young man years ago. And he piped off something to me and I told him where to go. And it wasn't out the door. It was somewhere else. That's a proud moment, right? So happens I'm performing his wedding ceremony in less than 2 weeks here at Prayer of Faith. But that was a man that I told to get lost. I just used other words. We say things that we don't mean to. I don't want us to think we're too important, too big. We're a parent. We can't ask our kids to forgive us for something we've said. The first thing we have to show our kids is we make mistakes and we need to ask for forgiveness when we do. I don't want you to think I can't ask my parents to forgive me. Then they'll know I lied. Looking mostly at our young people over there. But you may be a 50-year-old kid and need to ask your parents to forgive you. I don't want you to think I'm too important in my job or in my status or in the church or whatever to ask someone to forgive me. But that's between you and God and me and God. God calls us to be Christ-like. And we do that through submission. And until we get to that point of submission, we'll never reach His full blessings. We'll never see that. So let's just submit and start getting those blessings. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word today. Just reminding us that wisdom comes from above. That good, true wisdom comes from above and that it is pure. It's peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. God, we want that. We want that in our lives and in our heart. Would You help us get there? Today, where you're seated, where you're praying, just pray for God to reveal those people, those places, those situations that you may need to ask for forgiveness, for your tongue, for the way you've used it. God, help us to watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing, coming in to destroy the flock, to separate the flock, to cause division in the flock. Help us always be mindful of those things. But God, we know through You and Your Son's death on the cross that the enemy has been defeated and can and will be defeated. God, help us to quit trying to do that stuff on our own.
but do it through you and with you in your power. God, as we go out of here, help us as we come in contact with the world. Help, God, the words that we speak to them, the manner we speak to them, and our actions towards them, to those we know and don't know. Help us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. Lord, and protect us and keep us safe. God, for those traveling this holiday weekend, that you would take them and bring them home safely and put your hedge of protection around them. God, we just lift up this church and ask you to help draw us closer to you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.